It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Well, here we are on a Sunday morning. Good morning. Wes Moss here. Today, we're going to go right to a topic that, I don't know, has just fascinated me for a long time. And it's been a while since, or I don't know if we've ever brought this to Money Matters. So today, I would say it is a special. Every Money Matters is somewhat special in its own right. Today is probably even more special. Ryan Neely and Caitlin here, his fiance, soon to be married. So it makes it even more specialer. And that's exciting. But the content today should be maybe even better than that, dare I say, because we've talked about, this is a problem solution day, which are my favorite topics here on Money Matters. And the problem really simply is that the number of stocks that you and I have to choose from to invest in has diminished greatly. It has shrunk. They have disappeared. We've gone from nearly 8,000 stocks to pick from a couple of decades ago to less than 3,500 stocks. So the number of different companies has dramatically dwindled and dwindled and dwindled away. And it's enough to really start getting the attention of mainstream media, even has started to talk about this. We talked about it here on the show 3 or 4 years ago, didn't get a lot of traction, didn't get a lot of press, but just this year I've started to see other folks start talking about the shrinking stock market. Now, I don't mean about the value of the market, right? We even though the market this week was down, and we've had this choppy roller coaster year, kind of a go nowhere year. It's the number of companies I'm talking about, not the value. So I'm not talking about a correction here. I'm not talking about a bear market. I'm not talking about the size of the pie. What I'm talking about are the slices of the pie. And there are just fewer and fewer and fewer of those to choose from. And in many ways, it has not been a terrible thing because of mergers. You have two big companies come together. It's just one bigger company and it's one bigger stock that you invest in. And that may be okay in some cases. In some cases, it might not be. What I'm talking about here is the rise of private investing to somewhat take the place of all the publicly traded companies that have gone away. And it's something that if you're sitting here listening to this on a Sunday morning and you probably haven't thought about, well, what about all, so if publicly traded companies are going away, what else am I going to do? Well, the answer, I believe, at some point, and it's starting now, is that you will be more and more folks in America, more and more investors, not just the ultra wealthy, not just the ultra rich, not just the pensions, foundations, endowments, but millionaires next door, average folks in America that are just trying to save for retirement, will over time, in my opinion here, from looking at these trends, almost have to have some allocation towards and some share towards investing in companies that are large and growing and private. And it's, and part of this has to do with my kids asking me questions. This is torturous to my children, that I still listen to Bloomberg Radio or financial radio on the way to school. And I'll toggle between back and forth between WSB Radio, and then we'll go to CNBC and we'll go to Bloomberg because I'm trying to always understand what's happening in the world. And so naturally we're talking about publicly traded companies and the topic comes up, well, can I invest in this company? And then we pass another business along the street and a child of mine will say, can you invest in that business too, Dad? And the answer there sometimes is, well, no, that's actually just a private business. That's not publicly traded. You can't just go buy shares. But I think that the dynamics here are starting to, I know the dynamics here are starting to change, and there may be more of an opportunity for you as an investor to invest in some of these smaller, more private, arguably much more innovative company. So today, I want to not only talk about the problem and solution, which is shrinking stock market problem. Solution is investing in some other ways, getting access to private pieces of or shares of companies. That's the solution that will evolve, I believe, over time. But I think even more groundbreaking and more important to give you an update on is just how innovative and world-changing the companies are right now in America. I mean, we've seen arguably and just right before our very eyes, the economy changed to a digital economy, to a technology company or a technology economy. Every company today is a technology company, no matter what industry you're talking about, whether it is healthcare, whether it is finance, utilities, every railroads, shipping, you name it, every industry has been revolutionized in front of our very eyes over the last couple of decades due to technology. And we always look at this and we say, wow, the world has changed so much in the last 10 years or 20 years. How could that change accelerate even more? And I'm here to tell you that it is. It 100% is accelerating at an even faster pace than what we've seen over the last couple of decades. So I want you to be prepared for that. And I want to understand or help you understand just how innovative and just how mind-blowing some of the things that are happening right now. If you were to land and spend a week in Silicon Valley, if you were to go and fly over to San Francisco and hang out in San Jose, California, or Sausalita, and talk to the venture capital folks that are there, the technologists that live there and every day try to push forward something brand new that sometimes maybe it takes a little bit of extra time to even make it over here to the East Coast. Now, there's a tremendous amount of technology happening right here in Atlanta. There are tech startups all over the place. There are labs, there are incubation centers. So it's not as though we're not doing technology here in Atlanta. But even for cities like Atlanta and Austin and Seattle, that arguably there's a ton of new technology emerging, even in those cities, if you're not within that very niche-oriented world, if you're not a PhD from MIT or Georgia Tech or Caltech, and you're not working on some revolutionary new innovation, it's hard to even understand what's happening, what's bubbling up that will be mainstream or impact your world in the next 5 years. And I'm going to go through that today here on Money Matters. So today I'm calling just this is the Money Matters Technology Innovation Update. The rise of private investing. And this to me is as difficult as this making it for mutual fund managers trying to pick stocks. There are opportunities emerging out of this massive shift from publicly traded companies to privately owned companies that, yes, investors over time will get more and more and more access to here in the United States. So let's really share some of these numbers with you. Again, over the last several years, I've talked about this same topic. The disappearance of stocks is probably a better way to look at this. The disappearance of stocks. Here are some of those shrinking numbers. And again, not talking about the size of the market. We all know that over the last 9 years, the market has been phenomenally strong. Yes, we've gone through corrections and we've hit one bear market, really almost a 20% drawback here. Just in recently in 2018, we've had two big pullbacks this year. But think about a couple of factors that are happening. A, there are some cases, of course, where companies have gone bankrupt and just gone away. Then we've got the rise of these mega mergers, two big companies, two stocks joining forces and becoming one. So that'll take two stocks off the market and create one. And then, of course, a slower and slower IPO market due to a variety of things. One of them has to do with just increased government regulation, making it harder and harder and more difficult to be a publicly traded company. But let's go through some of these examples. Couple of companies, of course, we know that have gone out of business. Lehman Brothers, gone. Washington Mutual, gone. Sears, that's the latest high-profile bankruptcy. That stock is still trading. The company's still operating. But again, you'll see that stock likely just go away or disappear or get assumed by somebody else. We know, of course, the stories of Blockbuster. We know the Enrons of the world. But the fall in publicly traded stocks, a lot of it has to do with mergers and combinations. Think of a couple of these combinations, just in your head right now, before I go through this, think of all the companies that are now one or two or three different companies. Now they're just in one big company. I think the best example of that here in the Southeast, but think of AT&T buying Bell South. So it was Bell South and it was AT&T. Now it's just AT&T. Oh, wait a minute. There's something else that they swallowed up. Well, just a little company called Time Warner again, another massive merger approved this year. Now AT&T has assumed Time Warner. It's another stock swallowed up into one stock. Think of Microsoft and LinkedIn. Well, there used to be Microsoft stock and there used to be LinkedIn stock, and now it's just Microsoft stock because Microsoft bought LinkedIn. LinkedIn hasn't gone away as a company, but Microsoft is the only stock you can buy, let's say, that gives you exposure if you want to invest in a company like LinkedIn. Think of Mead West Vaco. Well, who do they join forces with here in the Southeast? Again, Rock 10. We're talking about corrugated, we're talking about cardboard here. Now, that combination of the a company is called West Rock. Think about Exxon and Mobil. Now it's just Exxon Mobil. They also, there's another company, and then there's really many of these different companies they've swallowed up over the years, but some of the bigger names that were publicly traded companies, think about XTO Energy. That's also now just part of what is now Exxon Mobil. XTO Energy was one of the very largest natural gas companies, now just all part of Exxon Mobil. Just this year, Keurig, Green Mountain, and Dr. Pepper Snapple Group. Two, again, massive beverage companies. Now it's just Keurig Dr. Pepper. By the way, I love these combined names. What kind of name is Keurig Dr. Pepper or West Rock? 2, 3, 4 big companies. Now just two stocks and then now down to one stock. So it hasn't necessarily just been the value. It's not a value issue. It's a number issue. It's a choice issue. In 1997, there were 8,800 publicly traded companies in the United States. By the end of 2015, that number, 5,300. Today, the Wilshire 5,000 index that was created in 1974 that started with 5,000 companies today, now less than 3,500 companies. These are big shifts, folks. The disappearance of stocks, what do we do about it? That's the topic today here. And innovation, that's the good news we'll get to here on Money Matters. Good morning. Stay tuned. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Good morning. We're talking about the shrinkage, the disappearance of publicly traded companies. It's a real thing. And again, it's not a terrible thing, but it's getting to the point where your choice is getting more and more limited in what you can invest in. Almost 9,000 stocks back in the mid-1990s. Today is down to 5,300 stocks total. The Wilshire 5,000 index created in 1974 to measure the breadth of the total market. Small, mid, large cap stocks, mega cap stocks. Now it's less than 3,500 equities. We're talking about not just like 1% or 2%. We're talking about 20, 30% decline in our choice. And what I'm talking about here today, and I'm going to, so stay tuned for the second half of Money Matters here this morning, or for the podcast. You want to listen all the way through. If you haven't listened to the podcast, go to the podcast app on your iPhone and look for Wes, with one S, by the way, W-E-S, Moss, Money Matters, Wes Moss, Money Matters, and you're going to hear in the latter part of the show about some groundbreaking companies. One company called Catalog, a couple of folks from MIT that are storing data. We're talking about, think about data like a photograph that you take on your iPhone, that's data. A Word document, that's data. Sensitive client information, anything that you can think of that's data, that pretty much anything that's ever stored, every email, that's all data. It's data. And by the way, we have a storage problem on the globe. Companies like Google can't even keep up with all the data. They keep building data centers and these massive stacks, which are technically, that's the cloud, that when you're saving to the cloud, it's actually getting saved in a server. And they're having trouble even keeping up building these data centers. Well, what if there's a new way to do it? Well, a couple of folks from MIT have figured out how to store data on DNA. That's not a joke. They're storing data on DNA, like human DNA, animal DNA. I think, and I haven't looked this up, but I'm going to guess at what DNA is. Deoxyribonucleic acid. Is that right, Ryan? Ryan knows this kind of stuff. I remember that at least from second grade science class. But yeah, on DNA, they're building a machine that, and first of all, it can already do this, but it can write a terabyte of data every day using 500 trillion molecules of DNA. So you can replicate models of DNA that are stable. By the way, stable for centuries. You've seen Jurassic Park. That's kind of a real thing. Dense enough to store all the world's data in a single room or the backseat of, I don't know, a European SUV. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We got a lot more innovation and what's happening under your nose in the real world. Stay tuned. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Technology Innovation Sunday. We're just talking about good news. Not an amazing week in the market. It's been a really tough couple of months for stocks. And I know if you're an investor, arguably, I can tell you, you've probably been pretty frustrated with where things have headed this year. It's not been a great year for equities. It's not been a great year for, it's been an okay year for U.S. stocks at best. It's been a terrible year for international investors. It's been a tough year, really kind of in a lot of different asset classes. And that's part of the, that is part of, and maybe more than just a little bit, it's a huge part of why investing is so difficult. It's that we've got to be patient. And sometimes it's the patience of many years where things don't go well and many years where things go in the wrong direction. And it's not until we get back on our footing and we've saved and we've saved and we've saved. And then all of that work at some point comes to fruition when kind of the sun rises again on the economy and you get economic growth. And that translates to earnings, and then that translates into a really strong equity market. Even though the economic signals today, really the totality of economic data just in general, is still really strong. We've talked a lot about that this year. The economy this year is still a lot better than the stock market. And of course, the two do not always hold hands in tandem. The economy is not the market, and the market is not, the stock market is not the economy. Over time, though, and that's in any given month, week, and even year. Over time, of course, they work together and they move in the same direction. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here. We are talking about some of the technology companies you've never heard of that are attempting to change the world and speed up innovation in a world that's already seen rapid innovation and change. And we're live here this Sunday morning. So Ryan Ely with me. We've been together now for a decade, over a decade doing radio. Almost a decade here for Money Matters on WSB Radio. So if you've got questions about the kind of the future of the world or where we may be headed or private investments or the shrinkage of the number of publicly traded companies, the disappearance of stocks, then, or just a financial question that you've been waiting all week to ask, then we're happy to always do that here. We're crunched for time on a Sunday morning. Here we're here until 10 o'clock. So we do have some time. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, and we will do a prize pack in a little while here. But the number here in the studio, the phone line's open for your questions about the direction of what you potentially should be doing with your retirement account, or your pension account, or your ETFs or mutual funds or annuity question or any of these financial products under the sun. We're happy to give you our third-party objective opinion on that, like we do every Sunday morning. The number again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK for our listeners throughout the country or around the world. 1-800-WSB-TALK. So we've been talking about the shrinking number of technology companies. If you just tuned in, there's just been a shrinking, not technology companies, shrinking number of stocks in the world, 8,800 publicly traded companies in the United States back in the mid-90s today. The Wilshire 5000 index that started with 5,000 companies back in the 70s is now less than 3,500 companies. And a lot of that, of course, has to do with the disappearance of companies going bankrupt and a massive amount of mergers where you have the likes of an AT&T and a Bell South and a Time Warner. Now it's just one big company, Exxon and Mobil and XTO Energy, all those three separate companies. It's not just one stock. All swallowed up as companies get bigger and bigger and your choice gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So there's less and less publicly traded companies, and I believe the average investor, well, there's less and less publicly traded companies that you and I can buy. And there are more and more companies that are choosing to stay private for longer. And I think at some point, most investors or a growing number of investors are going to have to almost look at and try and figure out a way to have some access to the private market, or maybe want to add private investments to their overall investment mix. So what is the solution of this problem? Or what is the solution to this? And by the way, just the statistics on IPOs, I looked at, if you go back and look at the kind of the shrinkage of how often companies have been going public, you go back to the 1980s and the 1990s, on average, we had something like 300 IPOs a year. You do the math from 2001 until today, we've averaged a little less than 150 IPOs a year. And of course, that part of that had to do with the big tech crash in 2000, 2001, where we had something like only 80 companies went public in 2001. So the number shrunk significantly. And then you see companies waiting longer and longer and larger, like the Ubers of the world, valued at $50-60 billion that would have gone public a long time ago that just have not. So we've got that working against us as well when it comes to the number of publicly traded companies. In 2001, so in 1999, there were almost 500 companies went public that year. The year 2000, 406 companies went public that year. 2001, after the tech crash, 84. 2002, 70. 2003, 71. In 2008, the financial crisis, which is the next IPO killer, if you will, 31 companies. 2009, 63 companies. So now we've had a little bit of a resurgence to this, but the numbers have shrunk. Now, then there's companies that have just gone private. Think about Dell, the big computer company, just went. They chose to stop being public and go private. Burger King did the same thing. Panera did the same thing. All public at one point, and then took their companies private. And then, of course, the Ubers, the Lyfts, the Airbnbs, SpaceX of the world. These are multi-billion-dollar companies that two decades ago would have gone public a long time ago. They still have not gone public. So that's the problem. One of the problems I see is the missing out on companies that are really growing and innovating. Unless you're sitting in a tech lab in a major city like Atlanta or Austin or New York City or Chicago around the world, or certainly Silicon Valley, San Francisco, you name it. Unless you're sitting there and you're in that world, you're not seeing what's happening. Unless you're a venture capitalist, how do you access or participate in these companies? The solution. I think that over time, the average investor, not just the $1 million network or the multi-million dollar, not the 10, the 20, the 50, the $100 million families, will want to participate in some way in these less well-known private companies. And I think we will see access to this kind of investment open up more and more over time. Now, there's still some limitations to this. You still, at this point, very often have to be an accredited investor. So the SEC has a rule 501 of Regulation D, Securities Exchange Commission. To be an accredited investor, you've got to have a net worth of at least $1 million, excluding the value of your residence, or have an income of at least $200,000 each year for the last 2 years. So, or $300,000 for a combined married couple. So already the access to be able to go into some of these private investments to be accredited are, again, these are big numbers, but there are still millions and millions of Americans that meet these criteria, that meet this $200,000 a year income, or they have $1 million saved. And arguably over time, I think we'll see ways for even more folks to have this market opened up to them. Now, to me, this is the emerging solution for a shrinking stock market problem. I, for one, over the years have been participating in a private venture fund for several years now, and the fund name is, I don't even know if I can give the name, but again, it's close. So this is a fund called Pathbreaker that I've been participating in. You can't go buy it. these funds, the way they operate, if you think about it, you're buying privately based companies. You can't, they open up, they raise a certain amount of money over the course of 6 months or so, and then they close it, and then they take that money, and then over time, they go and buy shares in private companies. So it takes a lot of time. It's not like a mutual fund where you can buy $1 billion worth of publicly traded companies just in a minute through your terminal. You've got to have, it takes time to go say, okay, I'm going to negotiate and get 2% of this company, 5% of this company. So it takes 3-4 years to put the money to work. And then it takes another 3 or 4 years or 5 years for these companies to mature, sell, people to get their money back. So these are longer term propositions, by the way. And the nature of these companies can be either super small, just companies called seed-oriented investments that are just concepts, really. It's a couple guys from MIT saying, I think I can build this, but I need $2 million to get started. And you've got anywhere from what are called either angel investing or seed investing, and then these companies grow larger and larger, and they're still private. Investments in these firms are considered Series A rounds and B rounds. A venture firm, though, a venture capital firm or fund, can focus in on one or two or all of these particular areas. I just got back this week from some time in San Francisco. And by the way, the air in San Francisco right now is actually really sad. The smoke from the Northern California forest fires, it looked like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it looked like it was nighttime. You've got people, it's dark and cloudy in the middle of the day. People are walking around outside wearing those air filter masks. And I mean, it almost looks like this a scene out of an apocalyptic scene. More than, 13,000 buildings and structures have been lost, the death toll north of 60. So it's really a disaster out there. So my heart goes out to the folks that live in that area and So the northern wildfires, the way the wind pattern has happened this past week has just kind of gone directly to San Francisco. So it's a very, very difficult time for those folks. But kind of getting back to a more positive topic, the root of me talking about all of these private companies, and most of you will say, sure, Wes, whatever, that's not for me. That's for big, big, big swingers from Facebook and Google and Sequoia Ventures. But I want to talk about why I think that this is good news for technology and innovation in the United States. Number one, I think over time, more and more folks are going to get access to this. Number two, the innovation that these companies are providing for our economy is staggering. And number three, the American economy is at the forefront of all this rapid change. Yes, it's been this dramatic change over the past 10 or 20 years. I think the next 10 years we'll see even more dramatic shifts than we've seen in the past 10 years. So I got to spend some time talking to 20 different venture-oriented or backed CEOs in San Francisco this past week. All various kinds of technology. I want to go through a couple of these and what they're doing. There's a company called Catalog, and some of this is public. The information I'm sharing today is public, so you can find an article about any of these companies, because some of them are in stealth mode for a while, and then they emerge and say, okay, here's what we're doing after a year or two or three. So I'm going to tell you about when Money Matters returns, I'm going to tell you about a couple of companies, one called Catalog, another called Ironox, another called Diligent Robotics, another called Fathom, and so forth, and what they're doing. It's just so new that kind of is mind-blowing technology for the next decade or so. So stay tuned. More Money Matters right here. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Straight ahead. Well, this is us. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on WSB Radio. I promised some new cutting-edge ideas. Quickly, we'll do prize pack. The number on the prize line, 404-741-0750. Ryan Ely.
Weekend prize pack is a pair of tickets to see Michael Bublé in concert Sunday, February 17th at Infinite Energy Arena. Tickets go on sale Monday at 10 a.m. at infiniteenergycenter.com, and make a great holiday gift.
It's great. He is wonderful for the holidays. Bublé. All right, Catalog, we talked about that. DNA storage, data storage on human DNA that lasts for 20,000 years. Yes, you've seen Jurassic Park. It's real. DNA lasts and is stable over centuries relative to any sort of data or a computer or microfilm or whatever that might deteriorate over the course of a couple of decades. Ironox, here's a company. They have a 1,000-pound robot named Angus, by the way. Angus runs a fully automated farm. It's a robot with LiDAR and 3D cameras. It actually picks fresh produce grown with 90% less water, by the way, and yields in this space, let's say one room yields more than an acre, 30 times the yield of a traditional farm. Their vision is to have Angus in the back of every restaurant providing fresh produce daily, year round. What's the problem they're solving? Well, the average head of lettuce or box of strawberries that you get at the store has traveled 2,000 miles to get to you. Imagine building an entire building, a floor of these farms in the middle of a city that creates fresh produce for the whole city. Imagine that. How about Diligent Robotics? A couple of folks from MIT, professors from Georgia Tech, UT Austin. They've designed a robot named Moxie. Moxie's already out there in real live hospital settings, assisting nurses, who, by the way, spend more than 30% of their time not with patients, kind of running to get supplies, getting medicine, taking out the waste. Yes, my wife is a nurse. We talked about this. Yeah, they kind of have to do everything. Moxie can take over a lot of those tasks, make hospitals tremendously more efficient, nurses better, more time with their patients. Fathom. Here's a company solving a problem in cloud storage, another storage problem. Again, hardware isn't keeping up with demand of machine learning and big data and AI and all this stuff it's hard to even understand. Google can't even build enough hardware to keep up with cloud storage demand. So Fathom builds these chip stacks that have 360 times the storage capacity of a company like NVIDIA right now, which is kind of the industry leader. So creating space using optics. Again, I don't even understand how they're doing this. I don't even know what all this means. It's hard to fathom. I guess that's why they named the company Fathom. Symbi Robotics. Symbi, they're solving. Here's a problem they're solving. There's a $450 billion out of stock problem for U.S. retailers. Imagine how many times you go to the store trying to get something and it's out of stock. That's a $500 million problem for retailers. Symbi has a robot named Tally that patrols these stores with, again, 3D cameras. And Tally scans the shelves, 20, 30,000 SKUs, with, by the way, 96% accuracy, and makes sure that and communicates to merchandisers, hey, this is going out of stock predictively, so we always have the best products that are in stock that people want to buy. Imagine the efficiency of that. I don't know if that takes away jobs. It makes retailers not go out of business, so more people can actually be employed. This is an optimistic development, folks. These are good things. And the U.S. economy has a complete corner on this. And that's the good news for all of us. I expect to and believe that over time, as more and more private companies make their way into the economy and more public companies are taken away, maybe we'll have access to more and more of this. We'll continue this wonderful topic over the years here on Money Matters. Stay tuned.